both of them rolled.
All right.
Okay now?
You're on.
All right. We'll have the motion again as we get on recording. Motion, Mr. Phillips, second, Mr. Wilson, come back from recess into regular session. Any questions? Take a vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Cole.
Yes.
Phillips.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. We're now back in regular session. Mr. Baker.
Next item is private roads agreement. And we have with us today Mr. Vince Robertson, who has worked on establishing a private roads agreement. And he has worked with Mr. Izzo and a group of others from the public that were interested in this topic, and he has a proposal to explain today.
Thank you, Mr. Baker, Council. This is a lot less exciting and fun than the last agenda item, but I'll try to keep it short and to the point. Basically, we've had, as the council knows, made a real effort within the county, and a successful effort, to get a handle on the bonds and letters of credit for subdivisions. And as we were going through that, one of the things that became apparent, particularly in this economy, is that we need an agreement that governs the construction of subdivision. I'll call it site work, but it's more than that. It's roads and buffers and stormwater management and that type of thing. So with that sort of goal in mind, me and representatives of the County Engineering Department, and also I think Mr. Godwin was involved at some points, came up with a working group that involved surveyors, contractors, site work folks, landowners, developers, and certainly members of the County Engineering Department, to come up with an agreement that would be workable to govern from the point of final approval on a subdivision to the point of completion of the site work. And it was a good working group. What we started with was the county's Ordinance 38 agreement, which you all should be familiar with to some degree. That governs the construction and inspection of sewers. So if a developer's putting in a sewer, they sign this agreement, and that governs that whole inspection and administration process, and also it's tied to the bonds. So it's not an unusual or unfamiliar agreement that we've developed. And as a result of that working agreement, there is the form that's in front of you this afternoon. Basically what it does, or this morning, what it does is it allows the developer, in conjunction with the County Engineering Department and the contractors involved, to establish a timeline for completion of the site work on the project. And that way there's an ability to monitor that the construction's moving forward. Now that's not set in stone. You know, the developers can come in and modify that timeline, but at least we all kind of know what it is that everybody's trying to work for with regard to that. The other important point in this is that it ties now letters of credits and bonds to an agreement. That's one thing that we sometimes get questions about from bonding companies. Well, is there an agreement that you're securing with this bond? And we've always rightfully represented, well, it's tied to the final site plan and all the engineering documents. They're guaranteeing performance of the work shown in those documents. Now we can say, in addition to that, we also have the agreement that specifically references all that and ties it into one form. So basically, with that in mind, what I'd like to do is ask Council to approve the form of the agreement. You have it, I think, in front of you from your packet on Friday. As I said, it's pretty straightforward in what it does. It's something that really, I think, will be a useful tool to not only the county but all the parties involved, and ultimately the people that this is designed to protect, which is home buyers within any of the subdivisions. So I will open that up to any questions that
council. Questions, council?
The only thing I'm wondering is, do we make an effort, a big effort, to make sure that the people know that they have their own roads to maintain? I mean, sometimes they didn't know in the older developments, but are we doing that now?
In terms of the subdivision roads?
To make sure people are notified.
I don't know that we notify as a county.
It comes back on us then.
I know. The first phone call, admittedly, is always to the county, but they're either private subdivision roads, and if that's not the case, then they're Deldot roads. Now, in terms of notification, it's on the site plans.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that's in the code and we require at the planning and zoning level is a statement that the homeowners, the developer, and then the homeowners association must be responsible for the maintenance of the roads and the stormwater management and everything else. So, I mean, if when somebody purchases a property, they're going to do a title search and they're going to see those restrictions. Now, whether they read them.
They'll see it at settlement, then that's what that will
yeah,
that
they
will
should, yeah.
Well, they have the opportunity to.
No, I was going to say, read, yeah, they have to take some responsibility to, right,
yeah.
Right.
Well, you know, in real estate now, the state has required certain disclosures. I don't know if it's something maybe the council ought to request the state legislature to do, to say that part of the contractual obligations, you know, at a sale of a property should be maybe another disclosure, and the disclosure being that you are buying in a subdivision, and these things will be private, and the cost will be borne by the residents. In other words, because I don't think it is clear. And
well, now one thing, if it's a new subdivision over a certain threshold of lots, the Delaware Uniform Common Interest Ownership Act,
right?
That if it's a new subdivision, somebody's buying in that, they're going to get those disclosures. So,
will they get that at the initial sale or as a resale? I know they get it with resales.
Yeah, and I believe they do at the initial sale too. On a new
subdivision.
I
don't know that.
Yeah,
on the new subdivision. But anyway, disclosures are very good because it makes the party have to sit there and sign off on that disclosure at the settlement table. So I don't know. I think that could be a good good tool, and I think the legislature would have to require that. We can't, right? We couldn't require that at the
One of the things that we could possibly do is send Mr. Robertson and I can contact the real property section of the Delaware Bar Association and ask them to look at that in drafting of the contract.
And it doesn't have to be, Everett, I'm not thinking of just private roads. It might be other things, right? Also, a disclosure saying these are state responsibilities, county responsibilities, and the homeowner's responsibilities. And so it just
it's inherent in some of that because the disclosure includes the budget for all that information that a homeowner association
has. A lot of them don't read it. If you could just separate it out,
right,
it might make it clearer and just more informative. So, just a thought.
And it is, as Ms. Deaver and Mr. Cole both mentioned, many of the older subdivisions prior to the homeowner associations, many of the very old subdivisions refer to each lot owner in their deed has a clause that indicates that they will pay their pro rata percentage. And that goes back a ways, but there are some that are set up that way without the homeowner associations.
Well, there's many without any kind of
association. You're correct.
Mm-hmm. No organization at all. Mm-hmm. I live in one.
One thing I should add to this, too, is that it gives more clarity on the project closeout side as well, so that as a project is completed or as infrastructure is done, the bonds or letters of credit can be reduced to reflect the actual amount of work that's still required. And then when it's complete, there's a final inspection, which we do have, but it's set forth in this agreement more clearly, that allows the county then to release the bonds or letters of credit, when we know and we're comfortable that the work's been completed, with the caveat that there's also a warranty bond that would be required just to make sure that things stay in good shape for a short period of time.
And what is that short period of time?
It's a year, I believe.
Is that enough for some of these blacktop roads? A lot of times it takes a little more than a year for things, deficiencies to show up.
Well, that's something we can think of. I think, Mike, the year, that's the same as the Ordinance 38, I believe.
Yeah. Come forward, please, at the microphone, Mr. Rizzo.
Michael Izzo, County Engineer. One of the problems we would have extending it beyond a year, in my opinion, would be that there's a lot of housing construction and amenity construction going on during that period. In a lot of cases, we have a very difficult time determining if damage results. Was that just the normal wear and tear or the breakdown of the improvements that were constructed by the developer? Or were there other parties that came in, unbeknownst to everyone, that caused the damage to the road? So in that first year, we do a pretty good job of monitoring that and figuring it out. But I think once you got beyond a year, we would have a really difficult time trying to attribute damage and wear and tear to, what was the cause. So
there was one, Mike, I can remember, because they called me over, where the blacktop wasn't laid thick enough or something, and somehow the inspectors missed it or whatever, but it was, and then it started breaking up, and it was after the year. Is there any way we could put some wording in there that say that if we came back and realized that it was because of the surface wasn't thick enough?
Now
we could have some kind of,
We do an additional inspection within that year period, so really that type of thing that you're referring to really should become apparent during that year. Now, I'm not saying that couldn't be missed somewhere, especially when there was so much construction going on at one time.
Right.
Now, with things being slower, I think the quality of our construction reviews are better, and I think that's going to help as much as anything. But it would be a difficult task to track it beyond a one-year time period, in my opinion.
Okay.
All right.
Any more questions from council?
I don't know if this relates to that or not, but a lot of people are surprised to find out they have to remove their own snow. That's off the roads. And I mean, is that something they should be told in advance? Or, you know, there seems to be some confusion about that.
I mean, that's not covered by the agreement.
Mm-hmm.
The state does it.
Well, it depends on where you are.
Or private contractor.
Yeah. That would be more of a homeowner's association.
They think we're going to do it. A lot of people think we're going to do it. So it's
even
not clear.
Even the subdivisions that the state has a responsibility, they're pretty far down on the list.
That's
so,
right.
And even some of those communities are proactive on their own because they don't want to have to wait 4 or 5 days to get their community.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. So. Okay.
Did the working group get to see this final draft?
Yes. To give you a little bit of history, we sort of started with the Ordinance 38 agreement and drafted one that we thought would work with that, and then there was drafts that were circulated to this group probably 3 or 4 times, I think, until we got to the point where we are today. This one actually is the final one that came out of that everybody saw and had a chance to comment on. And I should say it also included some other attorneys that represent land use folks. And this one's actually the final one that's since, just so we can make sure it worked, it's been merged into the county's engineering system so that the databases connect with it. So, as far as I know, everybody's seen this that had a chance to. It was a party to it.
Any more questions?
No, I think it's great.
You have a motion, sir?
I do, and it incorporates the full name of the agreement, which is kind of a mouthful, but the motion would be, I move that we approve the form of the agreement of the proposed construction administration and construction inspection agreement for private roads, buffers, drainage construction, and required improvements.
So moved.
And a motion and a second. Any questions on a motion?
And required improvements?
Well, that kind of just, like if there's a site plan that has, any additional requirements for,
But this is just drainage around on the side of the roads.
No, this is actually, because it refers to private roads, buffers, drainage construction, which is stormwater management to the extent we do. Yeah.
But sidewalks are not included here. Sidewalks are included somewhere else, right?
Yeah, sidewalks aren't specifically referenced in this.
But if they put them in, do we do any of that kind of inspection?
Mr. Rizzo, come forward, please.
Just because we get some concerns about that.
And believe it or not, we have a monthly meeting with our legal team, and unfortunately Vince was sick yesterday. We had our meeting yesterday, and that was one of the topics that came up because we remain confused about the sidewalk issue as well.
All right.
If they're drawn up on the plans and that we review and approve, it seems like it should be part of the agreement, mm-hmm. but perhaps, sometimes planning and zoning requires it to be part of as part of their plan approval requires them. Does that then become an amenity? So what we suggested yesterday was that we would write a letter to Mr. David Rudd, the assistant county attorney, and ask him to render us a decision because we are confused as well.
Okay. I people ask all the time. So thanks.
And that ties into last week with getting that tied down in an ordinance about.
So we may see something then come very shortly.
That's correct.
Okay, good. Okay.
Any more questions about the motion?
Thanks.
Now we'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Okay. The next item is redistricting report, and Mr. Everett Moore will have a presentation.